We are one, every man and woman, boy and girl, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of political opinion, regardless of any of the apparent outside differences, there is beneath and underneath that a unification, a unified oneness in which we all live, move, and have our being. That idea is a core idea of why we are here, of why the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown exists in the first place, and why we are continuing to enjoy and celebrate life as it comes forth and comes forward through each of us, through every person and everyone. So welcome. We're glad you decided to spend some time this morning with us, and we're grateful that you are who you are. We celebrate you, and we celebrate your choices and your willingness to be here and to be part of this. What I want to also say is that we are very grateful that we are in this time and this place. There's not a better time to be alive in the world that I can think of. People often talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days when you were living in them weren't so good, at least the last number of years that I've been around, because there was always room for improvement. And this is the good old days. This is a time where we get to create a new world, a new normal, a new way of being together in a world that works for everyone. So knowing that, I step freely into this celebration time together, recognizing the goodness of who you are. We often say, and this is our opening of Spiritual Mind affirmative prayer, such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So I invite you to read with me or join with me in looking at our Declaration of Principles. These are the founding ideas on which we are formed and built and continue to thrive. These are the ideas that were brought forward by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, in I think about 1926 or 27. And they are well established in our minds, and they provide the place to go look and think, do I believe this or not? Does this work for me or not? So if you'd like to read them with me, here they are. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love and creates out of a desire to express love. I believe in that all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Breathe that in. Take a moment. Let it sink in. Decide how you feel about any one part of those. We're going to talk a bit more about that very first one today in my talk. But in the meantime, we always have a sharing from someone else, in this case, from one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who has studied this teaching, who has demonstrated the ability to use it to change and improve their lives and to provide support, help to others in improving theirs. They've manifested this, they've demonstrated it, and are therefore licensed by our organization to do that. So today we have one of our wonderful practitioners to join us, Judy Ailey.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bob.
You are welcome.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us as we continue the theme for this month, Timeless Wisdom, Evolutionary Vision. And, you know, today's actual theme is called Grounding Beyond the Beginnings. And isn't this a moment when we need to be grounded in the truth? Today's affirmation is, I am forever one with all life. I don't know about you, but I get this feeling that life is just moving so quickly. You know, things seem to change every hour or even every moment. I feel like I'm going to miss out on something that's going on if I'm not paying attention. It's hard for me to keep up with it all. Well, I will say that Wednesday morning, I woke up and I was in a very pleased and happy state of mind. But by early to mid-afternoon, the wind was out of my sails and I was watching unthinkable things that were taking place in our nation's capital. And my buoyant mood was suddenly just dashed. And I asked myself, how do we respond to this? What is the truth here? Is there some good I can see here? What does my faith lead me to believe? And I mean, I didn't like what I was seeing at all. I knew that if I focused on what I was seeing on the surface, the division, the hatred, the destruction, it would lead me to a place that I didn't want to go. So instead, I took some time to turn to my faith and to affirm what we say here, that we are forever one with all of life. And if there's ever a time to be grounded knowing our oneness, it is surely now. The other thing that I had been doing is I've been going back and reading Emma Curtis Hopkins in my daily practice. She was one of Ernest Holmes' teachers, and I love reading her words. It's so interesting to read some of Ernest's words, and in my mind, I think, oh, that came right from Emma. anyway, here's a quote that I find myself coming back to every day, and this was helpful for me during this time. Here it is. If I speak boldly from my faith dimensional secret self, from that place within that knows, I am strength itself. I am flawless confidence. I am master of the willing God presence of my universe, and all the divine forces stand ready to minister to my leaping word. So this presence there, that I'm the master of a willing God presence in my universe, and all the divine forces stand ready to minister to my word. So what do I want in this moment? What is my leaping word? What am I saying? What am I speaking forth in the face of all this? I speak my word with confidence, knowing that I am master of this willing God presence of the universe, and that all the divine forces do stand ready to minister to me and the words that I speak. Boy, that's a huge power that we each have, and it's at our disposal to use. So I speak my word knowing that I don't have to have faith in myself to accomplish something big, but a faith in this law of life that responds, that's really in charge of the evolution of the world, the earth, the people here, and that nothing can ever separate me from this presence, that I'm always grounded in it, always. So what do I choose to believe in this moment? What am I wanting for my life, my community, my state, my country, this earth, this whole world? I know that there's a power for good, and that no matter what we see on the surface of events, that there is a greater truth. So I speak my word to know that there is a oneness of all life and of all people. There is no us and them, even though it may certainly appear that way. There is no us and them. It's only oneness. There is a way to create a world where all people are respected and honored, where peace, love, intelligence, and justice prevail. I don't know, have to know how we will ever get there as a country or as a world. I just need to stand firm in the faith and knowing that it is possible to have this kind of world. I just need to bring this presence, this intelligence, this respect, this love as me, as the presence of life wherever I go. That as the one spirit expresses through me, and as I play my part in this whole world, that I am guided and directed in perfect right action in ways of intelligence and love. And that as I see all of this going on in the what appears to be the exterior world, that I know in some way it is a reflection of all of us, of our consciousness, and that there is healing that can take place. There is healing in each of us that can take place as we ask for that healing, as we open ourselves up to that, and we know the truth of it. So I'm going to read that quote one more time because it's real powerful to me. And this is our power. I mean, we are powerful beings. Here it is. If I speak boldly from my faith dimensional secret self, and we're going to go to that secret self, that faith dimensional secret self in a minute when we get to the treatment, that I am strength itself. I am flawless confidence. I am master of the willing God presence of my universe, and all the divine forces stand ready to minister to my leaping word. And here's another line from Ernest Holmes that we talked about this morning in our study group that really spoke to this also. This is from Ernest Holmes. He says, I speak the word of peace to the world, and know that the peace of God reaches into the hearts and minds of the people of all nations. All right, so I'm gonna end that there, and I wanna take us into that secret place, the faith dimensional secret self, that inner place that we all have that we can tap into to know our spiritual essence and our truth of who we are. So if you'll just relax and take a couple of slow, deep breaths and allow yourself to turn your focus inward, to know that there is within each one of us that place, that inner silence, that inner spark of divinity that knows the truth, that recognizes it, that spark of faith, that spark of expectation, that spark of belief, that we go to that place. And as we go to that place, we know that this power, this presence that we are immersed in, that surrounds us, is a power for good. And we are in agreement with that good for our lives. That this power for good expresses in all ways in the world all around us. That this power fills our minds with new thoughts. It makes our bodies whole. That there is no place in us where this presence is not. That we are completely immersed, completely one with it. I know that in the moment that we are all in as a country, as a people, as just a group of people that are seeing things on the surface that may be disturbing, the things that we don't want to see people doing, or we don't want to see happening in our world or in our nation, that as we see these things, that we can know a greater truth, that we can know that there is a spirit and a power for good behind it, that the truth is that life is evolving, that our society and our culture are evolving, and there is good to be found in even this, that there is a healing to be found, that we can take this time to really know that, and that as we open ourselves up to this healing that is taking place, that we can see what our part is in it and what within each one of us is ready to be healed and to be made whole. I know and affirm that I am one with all people on this planet, that no matter who a person is, no matter what, that there is some part of them that is in me and some part of me that is in them, that there really truly is only oneness and wholeness and love and peace. And right now, I just use my words to create a world that is expanding in love, in peace, intelligence, and in justice, and that I know that the world and that our country, that we are moving in the right direction, that spirit is expressing and evolving as greater and greater good always. So I just turn away from any idea of conflict, of stress, of strain, of that there's division, there's us and them. I turn away from that completely and instead know that the truth is that there is a way to have a nation, a world, a state, a neighborhood, a family even, that is at peace, that is connected in love, where all are respected. And we just open ourselves up to the wisdom of life, to this one intelligence, to see all of the things that are happening in a better way, in a greater way. We open ourselves up to new ways of seeing, new ways of perceiving, and new ways of bringing our presence to play our part in healing and in the experience of oneness and wholeness in the world. I know that this is the truth. I release these words now, knowing that they are so, and so it is. All right. So we're going to go into music now, and the piece is called A Wholehearted Life, and it's by Nathan Aswell. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
I want to have a wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where no matter what's done or left undone, I belong and I'm enough. A wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where I'm worthy, I'm worthy of love. This looking for certainty is really exhausting me. Perfect though I try to be, I've not been. Alone with my guilt and shame, afraid of more pain and blame. I know how to stay in the game, I can't win. Time to make myself a brand new. I wanna have a wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where no matter what's done or left undone, I belong and I'm enough. A wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where I'm worthy, I'm worthy of love. So I choose to be set free, take responsibility, stand in vulnerability, speak my heart. To get love, I must give love. To belong, I must reach out. To find truth, I must be true, play my part. 'Cause owning my story and loving myself too are the bravest things I'll ever do. I wanna have a wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where no matter what's done or left undone, I belong and I'm enough. A wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where I'm worthy, I'm worthy of love. I wanna have a wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where no matter what's done or left undone, I belong and I'm enough. A wholehearted life, a wholehearted life, where I'm worthy, I'm worthy of love.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. A wholehearted life, worthy of love, able to love. So I would like for you to, with your whole hearts, take a moment, focus on my voice or the screen, and hear me clearly. You're grounded. Now, that was a phrase as a teenager drove me into real frustration and upset. Because what that meant was I couldn't go anywhere. And without my ability to go somewhere, I didn't get to see anyone except my family. And sometimes not even them. I did figure out after a while, though, that if my mother said to me, "You're grounded," I would say, "Well, can I be grounded at Grandpa's house?" And she'd say, "Yes." So I would go to their house and be grounded. And they lived on Main Street, and the traffic up and down Main Street were lots and lots of people in a small town where nobody yet had cell phones. We hadn't even heard of those yet. And so I could sit out in the front yard and be grounded and talk to all of my friends and have a great old time. She figured that one out too after a while. So what I want us to get, though, is as adults, when I got into more into adulthood, there was this whole feeling of, God, I'd love to be grounded again. Shut off all the busyness, shut off all the noise, shut off all of the running around, having to do this, that, and the other, and just be grounded and have to sit in my house. Well, for any time I accidentally wish that, I now take full responsibility, because starting about last March, I've been grounded. So have you, so have all of us. We've been grounded in our places and in our spaces and been given the gift, actually, of looking within and taking time to be quiet, or whatever ways you have used this time to refocus. It's been an opportunity, though, because what it has done for me is I've recognized and come to recognize that I'm grounded all the time. And that isn't a curse, and that isn't a punishment. It's a reality. Judy said it well. I'm grounded in the truth. I'm grounded in ancient history and ancient truth and forward-thinking vision, because I am living within this amazing field of energy and information, this amazing oneness that we talk about all the time. So when I say you're grounded into what? You're grounded always into this universal oneness, this universal space of energy, information, of life as God, as spirit. And whether we know it or not, it's still true. You know, whether you know it or not, the planet is spinning around. Whether you know it or not, time is marching forward. Whether you know it or not, all these things are happening around us and to us, and we are part of and subject to them. And the same thing is true with groundedness. So we're grounded into the one. We're grounded into the ancient teachings that the Hindu brought forth and saying that there's one supreme God, one supreme being. The Egyptians brought it forward about the same time. And one Pharaoh did away with all the extra gods, all the other gods, and said there's only one God, and that's the sun god. And that was the beginnings in our history that we can find of one God. We're grounded in the ancient truth that from Buddhism, that meditation is a way to be quiet and experience and recognize that infinite universal presence within each of us, to tap into it, to feel it, to know it, and to be aware and not aware of it at the same time. Ancient Judaism taught us that we can be in a conscious sense of relationship with the infinite, that it is, we are all the chosen people. And the chosenness simply means that it is spirit of God within each of us that is alive and well and moving forward. The Native Americans and the other indigenous peoples across our planet had a real keen sense. They called it animism, a real keen sense of the presence of energy and spirit and life in everything. Hence, they called us the two-leggeds, and the animals the four-leggeds, and the trees the one-leggeds, because everything had consciousness and everything has that awareness or some kind of awareness of itself within it. So this oneness, this ancient wisdom, we are grounded in that. And I, for one, come back to it again and again and again when things like this week happened. And then there's the science. There's the new cutting edge of truth that's showing up in spirituality and science, and the blending and the merging of those two as science proves spiritual practice, and spiritual practice shows up with scientific results that we can measure and look at and see. That's why this teaching originally was called science of mind or religious science, It was the science of religion and the religion of science. We put those together in a way so that that division of science and faith, science and spirituality, which was an artificial division, which allowed us to develop as a human consciousness, was no longer needed as we began to bring them back together. So that we talk in terms of a unified field of energy and information, which is the language of quantum physics. And that field of energy and information has pinpoints of energy and information. And those pinpoints of energy and information are you and I. We are not separate from it in any way. We are part of this universal field of consciousness, of energy and information. And as such, we have the opportunity and the freedom to recognize that we're never alone. We're never separate. You can't pull yourself out of that field, no matter how angry you may get and how much you may try, or how much you may believe that you're separate. You're still part of it. You're still in it. Your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas, everything you're thinking and doing is vibrating through this field. It's like a giant spider web where you move one little part and everything shakes and vibrates throughout the whole thing. Because all of its potential and power is present in each of those points of energy and information. Rupert Sheldrake is one of my favorite new people to look at and read. And he did a whole lot of research on animals. It's kind of where he got started in researching. He looked into dogs who are immediately always waiting at the door when their master comes home, or their person. I won't call them masters, their person. The person they're so connected and feeling and connected with. And he studied, so when does that happen? How does that animal know? Do they hear the car coming down the street? Do they hear the door opening, whatever? And what he found with very carefully done scientific study is that the moment that person decides to come home, the animal responds. Think about that. That animal is part of that same network of energy and information as you are. And when they decide and you decide you're coming home, the animal reacts. Now I had a cat for a long time and she didn't react at all. She wasn't the least bit impressed by what I was doing or not doing. But that doesn't disprove the theory. That just means the consciousness of cats is very different. That's why I like them better. What we also did was, and he's developed some new ideas, and he has a book out called the morphic field, or the morphogenic field. And he says that within this energy field of consciousness are streams of energy or streams of consciousness. And if you identify with one of those streams, fortunately or unfortunately, you get to inherit and get to deal with all that's in that stream. So when you call yourself a father, in my case, and you feel all the wonder and joy and excitement of that, you also inherit the unconsciousness, the unconscious ideas and thoughts of what father has always meant in the human race, which is sometimes authoritarian, which is sometimes cruelty, which is sometimes loving support. And as we sift through all of that, sometimes not even aware we're doing it, we choose the parts of that morphogenic field that we're going to live in and we're going to accept and we're going to use, and we let the other parts go. Same thing for mother, father, daughter, priest, mechanic, all of those things, car salesman. Think about the morphogenic field they live in, or maybe some of you live in that. And all the positives and negatives that you think about with that. And yet, car salesmen choose which part of that they want to be part of. For ministers, there are some vows that are part of that morphogenic field. Like the vow of poverty, which has been around as long as there have been ministers. And the vow of chastity and the vows of obedience. Which sound kind of nice unless you're in the middle of it and you're not really an impoverished person and you're not really any of that, then you get to undo those vows. You get to denounce those vows because a vow is a contract, and either side, either party, God or the individual, can say no more. So I'm saying all that to simply set up this idea that a lot, that what we saw and what we see this week and what happened is the result of the carefully prescribed and built up morphogenic field of separation, of not being a part of, and of the, and which contained some ideas that said the only way to be part of is to demand it, to take it over, and to use force. The opposite of oneness is separation. Now, separation is not a reality, but it can seem to be, it can appear to be, when we believe strongly enough in it. 1987. I was a young man at that time, as I still am. And it was a moment when I went with a group of people here from Atlanta on a bus. We rode all night to get to Washington, D.C. in order to march and demonstrate on behalf of gay rights. Now, I have friends that I'm still friends with who were on that bus and who participated in that. And when we arrived there and began the march, the congestion, all of it was amazing what we had to go through just to get to the location with that many people. And they said about 1.2 million people showed up for that march. And as we were coming down, Pennsylvania Avenue toward the Capitol and the White House down to that area. And we turned the corners from that vantage point. When you turn the corner and start down, it's a downhill slope. And I could see all the way down to where we were going. And both sides of Pennsylvania Avenue were full of people all the way to the walls. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was truly a part of America. I was a full-blown citizen, fully empowered, fully appreciated, fully a part of. So I understand what it's like to feel disempowered, disenfranchised. Now, our choices at that point were nonviolence. We didn't do that. And I'm not drawing any judgment on these people, but I understand and have compassion for that feeling of being disenfranchised by your own government. And almost half of our population feels that way. That's a huge divide and a huge belief in separation. And we get nowhere by condemning them at this point, although I think all the accountability has to be held and the people who broke the law need to be held accountable, all of that, not denying that. But for us, in this teaching, we have to find ways to get beyond that us and them, get beyond that separation. And for me, it's the recognition of what it feels like to be disempowered and disenfranchised. It is that same belief in separation that leads to racism, that leads to sexism, that leads to ageism, that leads to what is becoming a bigger and bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots. Here we are in the midst of this pandemic where so many people are losing their jobs and their income and are risking losing their homes, and yet the stock market continues to go and grow, and the haves get more and the have-nots struggle harder. And you may be somewhere on the continuum. That's not an either or, it is a continuum, but you get to decide where you are in that. And you also get to decide whether you're going to live your life based on that separation or do what you can to help bring prosperity and freedom and power to all those around you. And that's up to you, how you do that. See, we have to let go of this belief that we are separate, even though it looks like it. You're there, I'm here. I see people around my neighborhood. I don't look like them. They don't look like me. That's fine. But you know what? We're just points of energy and information in that field of energy and information. So we are each affecting each other. The Hindus had a great idea that they started thousands of years ago. When you see that difference in the quietness of your own mind, or perhaps with the bow, It's namaste. The spirit of God in me recognizes the spirit of God in you, whoever you are. That's what we're reaching for. That's what is needed to bridge this these huge divides and gaps in our world right now. See, you're grounded is both good news and bad news. It's bad news if you happen to really strongly believe in this idea of separation of good and bad and right and wrong and evil. It's really good news if you really know oneness and you're willing to experiment and grow in oneness. See, the goodness, the truth, the good news is that there is one power and you're in it. You're not only in it, you are it. And it moves through you. And it does not require you to be the same as anyone else. It only requires you to be as true as you can be to who you are, with no attempt to impose that on anyone else's individuality. Now, we have agreements with each other. Love is a part of the nature of who we are. We are all natural. That's why I really liked that song before I spoke, is that we're lovable and we are able to love. That love is a part of our very nature, and that bridges the differences between my individual best and your individual best and makes neither of them wrong, but loving and appreciative. See, you're not only in that power of the infinite, that power of oneness, you are that power of oneness. This has long been a strong opinion and drive of mine to believe that if we just could wake up to who we truly are, most of this stuff would take care of itself. Because not only are you in that power, you're made of that power. You are the stuff of God having form and shape, the stuff of the universe, the infinite, whatever language you want to use for God, you're it. And since you are grounded in that oneness has the power to create your life according to what you most strongly believe in and most often think about. I mean, that's really the crux of a lot of what this is about. We can get caught up in thinking about the separations, the divisions, the differences, the pains, the hurts, all those things. We can even get caught up in declaring, you're right, we're not all the same. You're over there and you're strange and you're different. I don't like you. Or we can get caught up in, I don't particularly like your behavior, but I recognize why you're doing it, and I recognize something similar to that in me. Therefore, we are one. Because in reality, like it or not, you're grounded. We are all connected into this infinite, intricate web of energy and information. And we are influenced by it. And we influence it, we change it, it shifts in us, and it just continues to roll and go and go. So as you choose what to believe, as you question all the beliefs that come up or the things that seem not quite right to you, rather than looking out there and making something out there wrong, what we do is look within ourselves, and not to make something wrong, but to decide, is that really the truth for me? Does that really match? Is it really coordinated? So you're grounded then is good news. It's only bad news if you're grounded in separation and duality, because you're living out of the natural flow of life. And that can only be painful to you and to whatever you influence. And the truth is, that unity, that connection is still going to come through. So your words have the power to create. Your habitual thought creates your experience, and you are free to choose. Why? Because you are grounded in life that is moving through you rather than you moving through it. And that grounding and that reality of who you are can inform and shape and help you have the life of your dreams that's peaceful, that's harmonious, that's loving, even with those things and places that don't appear so loving to you at any given time. I invite you to consider this. I invite you to spend some time with it. I invite you to stay grounded, because you are wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. I'm so grateful to all of you for this opportunity to speak to you over and over again. So I'd like to take a moment to go within, to meditate for just a moment or two. Deep breath in and out. And another. And ask yourself the question, please reveal to me, you're asking the wisdom within you to reveal to me the way in which I can truly see the God in me and the God in everyone else, particularly those I feel the most separate from. The wisdom inside of you can answer that question more clearly than I can, because we're all tapped into the same infinite wisdom. And so I know in this moment, there truly is only one power, one infinite intelligence, one universal presence in which I live, we all live, move, and have our being. It is living itself through us. As we think our thoughts, as we feel our feelings, as we have our opinions, as we get quiet and listen for better ideas, as we meditate and pray, as we choose and dance and sing and do all of the things that we do as human beings. Life itself is living itself through me. I can't stop it. I didn't start it. But it's moving through me and my individual expression of it. And I'm grateful and joyful in that moment. I see others as continuums of some aspect of myself. They show up oftentimes to teach me something new I didn't know about myself or about God. They show up to teach me where the real path is, where the truth lies for me. And I stand in the firm truth that nothing is ever done to me. It is always done for me. For my growth, for my greater good, for my ability to love and be loved, and for the sheer joy of living. So in the midst of everything else, regardless of my feelings at this moment, I choose to do the happy dance. To live in joy and freedom, knowing I am free to think whatever I think. I am free to choose what I choose. I am free to live my life according to my highest and best idea of it. And I embrace that joy and that freedom right now. I let it be so, and so it is. Welcome. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we had this opportunity to do this and to be together. I want to remind you that we are here through your generosity, through the gifts and the contributions that you make to our center, to this process. We are able to not only provide these expressions that reach out over the internet and reach somewhere between 200 and 300 people every week, with not only what the numbers you see on the screen here, but through Facebook and podcast and other places. And I'm so grateful to you for making this possible and allowing it to be. So thank you. I invite you to know that you can contribute to our center through all kinds of avenues. And we will put those up right now before the for you to look at, as well as the our affirmation of prosperity. Because you see, no matter what may appear on the outside, you are never separated from your prosperity. You are never separated from the flow and goodness of God, the goodness of spirit, the goodness of this energy and information. It may appear that you are at times, and at times the reality may be the money may not be flowing like it could and should. But all we have to do is change our minds about that and follow up on the things within us that we're called to do, to say, to think. So join me, if you will, on this affirmation of prosperity. Make it yours. Let it be the truth for you. It goes like this. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You see there the link to our donation site. I think some people will put on the chat the other opportunities and donations. So here are the announcements coming up. We got a lot happening soon. Not right today, not this week. But Timeless Wisdom Evolutionary Vision continues. And as it does so, what we will be doing next. Well, I don't know. We're doing next week. Here it comes. There it is. Nope, not yet. So let me just tell you right now, on Tuesdays, every week from 12 to 12:30, sometimes longer, but usually 12 to 12:30, we meet at this same site on Zoom. And whatever is concerning you, whatever you're wanting to talk about, whatever you're celebrating, whatever you're struggling with, is welcome to be brought to that discussion. And we explore it. We look at a better idea. And then at the end, I do a spiritual mind treatment to change all of our minds so that the flow is easier. We align more greatly with the spirit that God is, and allow the flow of life to move through us with greater ease and freedom. So please consider that. We have a wonderful time every Tuesday, and it's a great place for support and resource. Starting on the 20th, I believe it is, fourth Wednesday of the month. That must be the third Wednesday. Watch for it. There it is. It's January 20th. From 7 to 8 p.m., I will begin to do some back to the basics. It's Wednesday Wisdoms. And what we're going to do is Wisdom Wednesdays, whichever, as long as you show up. I don't care what you call it. But from 7 to 8, we'll spend some time with the basics of our teaching, of our spirituality. We'll go back to those four basic concepts that Ernest Holmes brought forward in the textbook: the thing itself, in other words, what is this spirit, the way it works, what it does when it works, and how to use it. And we'll not only have a short talk about that, but we'll also have a conversation about it and help you really get your head around why this is so important. You know, I give you big stroke ideas here on Sundays. However, you really want to get the teaching into your bones, into your life. The place to do that is in class. And so you can consider this a class. There's no charge. We will be inviting you to contribute based on value received. However, no charge. So feel free to join us from 7 to 8. If you can come to all four, that's great. If you can only come to one, show up for that one. Whatever works best in your schedule. So I'm looking forward to that time with you for sure. Huge gratitude to our practitioners. They are the spiritual foundation of this center. They are constantly here for you and for themselves and for each other, which is as it should be. And so feel free to contact them through the website or other places. There may be some here on the call today who would like to put up their numbers. That's welcome as well. And I think that's it. So I'll turn it back over to Dr. Bob. Oh, hi, that's me. Okay, so here we go with the closing affirmation. This is what I always affirm as the truth for me, and it's the truth for you too, I trust. And that is that I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I hope you got that one. I'm going to repeat it. Knowing that I have within me everything I need, and I would say require, to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I'm grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is, which is a translation of Amen.